Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, March 15th. It's your boy Matt Shook, an Associated Press freelancer in Chicago, covering the NBA, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade. Been bringing you the Locked On Pistons podcast for this whole season, and what a season it has been. But actually, we're going to be talking about a good day for the Detroit Pistons, which was Wednesday night, and we're also going to be looking ahead to the Denver Nuggets tonight on Thursday. A daily Detroit Pistons podcast. We do have to talk about the games, as irrelevant as they are at this point, and talk about the new star in the NBA. Well, not star. Maybe that's the wrong. Actually, that's the exact wrong word to use for this guy. But the emerging force in the Denver Nuggets that is familiar to a lot of local sports fans. But maybe more importantly for you, it's fantasy playoff season right now for basketball. So we've got the man that you need to be listening to and following, Josh Lloyd of the Locked On Network Fantasy Basketball Show. He's going to be coming on talking about your fantasy playoffs, daily fantasy, Andre Drummond's value, Luke Kennard, how those Pistons kind of fall into the whole narrative of fantasy basketball right now. And I'm also going to be giving you later on a couple names to be watching in the NCAA tournament if you're thinking about that Pistons second round pick, in addition to the possibility of the Pistons possibly getting into that top three pick. And again, we're talking about under 5% chance of the lottery falling their way. But we'll talk about some second round gems that might be worth watching as the tournament really gets started in earnest today. It's a big day for a lot of basketball fans. Take the day off of work or school or whatever, drink some beers and watch the NCAA tournament basketball all day long. I'll be watching quite a bit of it myself, especially on Friday, as I got some time to digest all of the games. But the big news for the Pistons on Wednesday, they got some help last night in a major way. If you wanted to jump back onto the playoff possibility bandwagon, and you probably don't, especially if you watch Tuesday night in Utah, but the Milwaukee Bucks fell 126-117 to the Orlando Magic on Wednesday. And in addition to that, the Miami Heat also lost 123-119 to the Sacramento Kings. The Tankers rolled through. Sorry about that. I had to cut out an offensive joke there. Maybe it's a little too soon to be making tank jokes in that situation. But anyway, a little too soon for current events from 1989 to maybe give you a hint of the tasteless joke that I had made just there. But the Pistons now just 5.5 games behind the Bucks for 7th in the Eastern Conference and 5 games behind the Miami Heat for 8th place. I say this all a little bit tongue-in-cheek, as it's probably not going to happen for the Pistons to have their dream of getting back in the playoff chase, but we will be bringing it up and talking about the facts here on Locked On Pistons. And with all honesty, those kind of nights on Wednesday night that the Heat and the Bucks had, or maybe were, the type of nights that the Pistons really needed to get back into this thing. And in some ways, the Pistons' horrible loss to Utah on Tuesday night is kind of wiped away by Wednesday night's results, and even more so when taking into account that the teams that the Bucks and Heat lost to, those are teams that are trying to lose and tank, and games that the Pistons probably considered to be wins for their teams that they're vying for those last final playoff spots with. But anyways, for the Bucks, Giannis was outdueled by the immortal Jonathan Simmons, 35 points for the former Spur role player, while the Greek Freak had 38. And honestly, as if you listen to this podcast yesterday, I didn't even know that the Heat were playing on Wednesday night. I skipped over that on the schedule, so my bad about that. But how about the boy Zach Randolph, the former Spartan, had 22 points, leading the Kings in scoring this year, which is a credit to Zach. Also probably bad news for Sacktown that veteran is leading them in scoring right now. But De'Aaron Fox had 22, 24 for Buddy Hield. And I'm probably a sick man and don't answer this question, but I'm looking forward to seeing Detroit play Sacramento on Monday night. Not really for the Pistons, but it's kind of a treat to see Sacramento play. It's one of those teams whose young players get drafted, and then they disappear off the map for months, and then you see them play every now and then and say, you know what? DeMarcus Cousins is really good, and I think he might turn into a pretty good player, but then you forget about him for a few months, and that's kind of what's happening now with De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield. I hear murmurs that Hield's putting together a nice career in the NBA, but really, I have no idea, and I haven't looked up much about him even since I kind of wrote some notes for the show. I have no idea if De'Aaron Fox is having a good rookie season or not. Obviously, he was one of the big names going into the draft, and everyone was pretty high on him. But I don't really know if De'Aaron Fox is having a good rookie year. And I follow the NBA pretty closely. It's the Siberia of NBA right now that Sacramento is. But before Sacramento on Monday, the Pistons will have the Portland Trailblazers on Saturday. And even before that, obviously tonight, 9 o'clock at the Denver Nuggets in the friendly confines of Denver, a place I've never been to, by the way. I've never even been to Colorado, which is kind of very unmillennial of me. Another team that Denver is, along with Utah and Portland, that's right in the middle of that 3-10 spot logjam in the Western Conference. 8 teams vying for the final 6 spots in the playoffs. 8 good teams, by the way, not like some of our favorite Eastern Conference quote-unquote contenders. The Nuggets are now 10th in the West, by the way, so they need this one as bad as anybody. But like I said, just 1 game out of 7th, despite being in 10th, and 4.5 games behind Portland for 3rd. That's how bottled up this thing is right now. And Mike Malone and the Nuggets, they need this one. They're playing their last home game before going on the road for 7 straight. And you got to figure, if you're an unbiased observer of this one, that they will feast on a Pistons team that has to get ready for that altitude in short order. Pistons have lost 8 of 10 and 10 straight road games and are 1-15 in their last 16 road games. What a tough ball club that we follow here every day. Unlike earlier in the season when Denver beat Detroit at Little Caesars Arena, when the Pistons were trying to recover from their first long losing streak of the year before the next one, and the next one came later on in the year, Paul Millsap will be back for Denver, and so is Nikola Jokic, the front court duo that both missed that game in Detroit earlier this season. But the leading scorer for the Denver Nuggets this year, do you know who that is? Former MSU Spartan Gary Harris, who is rewarding Denver for giving him the big contract extension in the offseason, so much so that friend of the Lockdown Pistons podcast, Chris Herring of 538.com, he wrote an article this week on 538.com titled, "Why Denver's Gary Harris Could Be the Next Kawhi Leonard." What a clickable headline by the former guest of here on Lockdown Pistons, Chris Herring, who lives out in Chicago here as well. But Harris is quietly becoming a great player, and not a star, as I mentioned earlier, but a great player. Not a star in that nobody really knows about the production he's had and the career he's putting together. But he's the best perimeter defender for Denver and is the team's leading scorer right now. A team that's and he's sneaking up on other teams, on a team that's kind of sneaking up on the Western Conference right now. Harris, as Herring's article noted, has more steals than fouls, which is a very rare thing for wings in the NBA at any era, especially right now. So it kind of shows off his elite athleticism right there. His scoring has gone up every season. Harris, after he left Michigan State, and some would argue that he left MSU early, maybe earlier than he should have, he really struggled in his rookie season, kind of laughably so, for a guy who was supposed to be able to fill it up from the outside. He didn't shoot at all well as a rookie, and some folks, especially some of the casual folks out there, maybe myself included at that time, kind of wrote him off as a bust early on in his career, but he's been steadily improving every year. Now he's in year 4, and he really made the leap this year, and if he might be a guy who could attract some buzz here down the stretch, especially if Denver gets back into the playoffs, and even into the offseason, might get talked about a little bit, and could even be an all-star level player as soon as next season for the Denver Nuggets. But as for the Pistons, who, by the way, do not have a player in the backcourt who could be an all-star level athlete soon, no Reggie Jackson tonight, as you would probably have guessed with the ankle injury, but Reggie Bullock could return after suffering the sore back from the complications after the Sunday car accident he had in Metro Detroit. But as for tonight, the Pistons, by the way, in case you need to know this kind of information, 7.5-point underdogs on the road at Denver. But up next, we're going to be joined by Josh Lloyd, who's going to be joining us from Australia, Down Under. By the way, the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast host. He's going to tell you how to win your fantasy basketball championships like I'm trying to do with my Lincoln Rail Splitters fantasy basketball team, named after the Ray Allen He Got Game High School team from Brooklyn. That's actually a real school, by the way, Lincoln High School in Brooklyn. There's also a Lincoln, Illinois, where it's a bunch of white kids, and they're all named the Lincoln Rail Splitters as well. Fun fact there that I looked up on Google just now. But if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, then you guys should be sponsoring Lockdown Pistons, which is listened to by 98% men, 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. Sausage Fest here on Lockdown Pistons. So if you want to reach our guys with reasonable rates, go ahead and email me at matt_shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com.
Yes, sir!
And we are now being joined by Josh Lloyd, host of the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast here on the network, coming to us from down under. Josh, you can find him at RedRock_Bball on Twitter and also the Locked On Fantasy Twitter account for the show as well. Josh, thanks for taking the time.
No problem, Matt. It's good to be on.
All right, and we got a daily look at fantasy basketball across the league, so check that out and make some money with him as well. The fantasy basketball playoffs are going on right now. My team's got a first-round bye in my league, the Lincoln Braille Splitters, so we're sitting out this week getting ready for the next couple weeks to win the title. But what are some of the pickups or trends that you see across the league right now to help not only my team out, but listeners' teams as well? I'm guessing that tanking probably has a lot to do with some of these teams and maybe some of these young players getting more looks for some of these bad teams. Are there some teams that are players that stand out that guys should be looking at?
The problem you have with the tanking situations is, yeah, it does open up some situations. But what we see is that these young guys that come in, obviously they can struggle, and the coaches can be quite variable in terms of the minutes they give them. So they might play 30 one night, they might play 18 the next night, they might play 25 the next night, and they're going to have really big variances in what they do. The areas you want to attack more are the teams that are really in the thick of the playoff race that suffer injuries. So at the moment, we're looking at teams like the Celtics, where there's no Marcus Smart, no Jaylen Brown, no Kyrie Irving. So a guy like Terry Rozier is going to be having a ton of value because he's going to have to play huge minutes. The team is going to be competitive in all these games. There's no other option to really rest him unless they're going to be playing 30 minutes of Shane Larkin. He's going to have to get a lot of playing time. You can look at Atlanta and Kent Bazemore's out and you go, well, that's fine. Then Tyler Dorsey steps in. But he played 18 minutes last game, and they throw these other guys like Andrew White in or Damian Lee, who played 18 minutes in his debut. So this sort of stuff is going to change right across those tanking teams. There's going to be minutes that go up and down. David Nwaba in Chicago might play 30, he might play 22. So a lot of the times you want to look where the injuries lie on those teams that are competing, but in some situations that the tanking teams do have value, say down in Orlando.
Interesting look at so maybe stay away from some of those tanking teams because we've thrown a lot of G League type of guys. You mentioned Andrew White and Damian Lee. I'm going to plead ignorance. I don't even know who those guys are. So maybe we'll stay away from those Atlanta Hawks type of players. Are there some other stars that, or maybe mid-level stars that are making some nice little jumps here at the end of the year that players might, if trades are still available in your league, you might want to try to jump on?
I would hope that trades aren't available in most people's league, but I know that some people's leagues are still going on in terms of being able to trade. Guys like Tobias Harris has been killing it since he arrived with the Clippers. It's probably going to be hard to get him for fair value, but he has been really crushing it, and he's probably going to be a top 40 guy, maybe even higher for the rest of the year. We know that Julius Randle for the Lakers has been crushing it. He's been like a top 30 player over the last month, so he's another guy. But these sort of players can be harder to get a hold of at this point. You want to look at, if you are trying to execute trades at this point, is players who have maybe been struggling the last couple of weeks that you might be able to get at a discount. Maybe a Paul Millsap who's coming back and still playing surprisingly low minutes, only 26 minutes in that game against the Lakers yesterday. A player like that, Brooke Lopez, whose minutes were fluctuating quite a bit at the early part of the season, but have really ramped up over the past couple of weeks. And a guy like Markieff Morris in Washington, who without John Wall there, he's seeing an increased role, more usage, and his numbers have been pretty steady. And he's a guy that he might even be available on the waiver wire, but he can be putting up some pretty consistent numbers, at least until Wall comes back, which might be another week and a half to 2 weeks away.
Now, Josh, I've been new to daily fantasy this year. I've got a draft about in an hour here or so. For beginners like me, obviously when you're doing your draft, you got the projections right there on the site. But what were maybe some of the other two or three factors to look at if I'm looking for a quick way to get some value out of some of these guys as I'm drafting?
It's all about opportunity, really. So much like I talked about earlier with guys like the Celtics players, being out, like who's got this extra opportunity that necessarily, it depends on what site you're playing, of course. If you're playing on draft where it's snake draft, it's a little bit different. But on some of the other sites with salary caps, you'd see these players pushed into larger roles and their salary hasn't necessarily caught up to them. So say in Boston with Al Horford out today, guys like Aaron Baines and Greg Monroe are still going to be priced down because the assumption was that Horford possibly was playing, but those guys are now going to be pushed into a larger role. A player like Marcus Morris, who will likely start now with Horford out. He's another guy that pushes into a larger role there. With Aaron Gordon out in Orlando, you're going to have John Isaac and Mario Hezonja see their value bump up, whereas their salary hasn't really caught up to that at this point. So what you're really looking for is value that's opened up over the short term, because if it's something that a player is playing an increased role over the course of 3 or 4 days, the sites update all that value and people catch on. It's when stuff happens like over the course of a day. So maybe your guys in Chicago with Larry Markkinen out for the next game, Bobby Portis, his salary may not have risen up as much as what it will in 3-4 days time, just because that extra opportunity has opened up. So that's really the one that you want to look at significantly, is where has the short-term value opened up, and that's the sort of players that I like to target.
And let's move on here to the Detroit Pistons. Obviously, you mentioned Tobias Harris, and that hurts us to hear about how how well he's doing with the Clippers right now. But let's talk about the big man, the first big man in the middle right now, Andre Drummond. Obviously, we know about the rebounding numbers that he's put up this year, leading the league once again. Where does he stack up in terms of, and I'm sure it goes by league and whatnot, but where does he stack up in terms of the elite fantasy players in the NBA?
Well, he's a top 20 player this season for fantasy. Obviously, his free throw percentage had been a problem in the past. It's still not a great number. Look, he's improved significantly, but it's still a free throw percentage on the volume that he goes to the line that can hurt teams in that category, but he's still a top 20 guy. And if you take that out of the equation, then we're talking about a player who's probably top 15, top 14. You know, elite rebounds, elite steals is a big man. The shot blocking's fine. The efficiency's gone up from the field this year. He's scoring well. The minutes are well up on last season. He is a comfortable top 20 guy, and in most cases will be a little bit higher, just because, you know, you're going to be disregarding that free throw percentage anyway, or you would have been when you drafted him. It's been a pleasant surprise, but it hasn't been enough to really change that category around. So he has been one of the biggest surprises of this season, I'd say.
And I know that next year is still a ways away, but for Pistons fans, it couldn't come any quicker, as it's been a slog of a year, especially these last few weeks for Pistons fans. Is there any way for you, I mean, to project how, you know, Reggie Jackson and Blake Griffin, how that kind of thing all works out when you throw Andre into the mix as well? Or is that something where fantasy guys are just waiting and seeing, like the rest of us, how that fit kind of goes?
Yeah, look, I don't really get into the next season projection stuff until like late July, August, and really try and work out, because you got to work out how everything fits together, because you can say, look, this is everyone's individual statistics and how they've done. But when you put it together, sometimes you add all these players together, well, this doesn't make sense. This team's not going to average 84 assists per game and 150 points. Like, things need to dip down. So would Jackson's assist drops? Will Drummond's drop? We've already seen Andre Drummond's assist drop significantly since Blake Griffin's arrived. He was a guy that was pushing 5 assists, and when Griffin's been there, he's down like 3 or fewer assists per game. And you know, when Jackson comes back, does that affect that even more? So all those things, it needs to be all pushed together to see how it works. I think that Jackson may struggle a little bit with this pairing, just because Griffin does like to have the ball in his hands, at least a lot more than what Tobias Harris did. And that could impact some of Jackson's counting numbers. Of course, the injury prone nature of his game, I guess, with the significant ankle injury, the knee injury the year before, which aren't necessarily related, but it is a part of it. Plus the way that Stan Van Gundy likes to run his point guards, in that he just doesn't give them huge minutes. So with everyone healthy, you'd probably see Jackson at 30 and the backup at 18 or 28-20 split. And that puts a cap on those sort of players. But to get the overall picture out of it, we really need to see what happens through the offseason, through the draft. And there's going to be things changed, like a guy like Luke Kennard, who I'm pretty interested to see how they use him next season.
Yeah, he had 18 points last night against the Utah Jazz in 36 minutes, which was a number that kind of surprised when you look at the box score too. Has he been kind of a guy you look at for the rest of the year, possibly with value? And has there been other Pistons that we haven't talked about yet that have been, you know, worth owning and fantasy value wise this year?
There hasn't been many, to be honest. We've got Drummond and Griffin, obviously. Jackson was when he was healthy. Reggie Bullock's been probably the big surprise packet for the Pistons this season. When he started out, I said there's no way he's going to continue shooting 50-51% from the field, but it pretty much has, which has been a real surprise of how well he has shot. He's a 43% shooter from three-point range this season. He doesn't do very much else apart from score, hit some threes at high efficiency, but he's been a useful player. As for Kennard, I don't know how you say it, Matt. I'm sure you're going to agree with that. But I've been really disappointed with the way that Van Gundy has used him, with the constant waffling of, are we going to play this guy in the rotation and stick with him, and then he stays there one game, and then he has DMP CDs, while guys like Langston Galloway and Jameer Nelson start getting these minutes. I think Kennard has a really interesting fantasy game. It was great to see him play those big minutes yesterday, but it was without Bullock there. So Does he just go back and play 16 minutes in the next game with Reggie when Reggie is back in action? Do they take James Ennis out of the rotation because some of the 36 minutes that Kennard played, because Ennis picked up like 4 or 5 fouls in 11 minutes. So I don't have confidence. I have confidence in Kennard as a player. I have confidence in Kennard as a guy that if the minutes are there, the fantasy stats will come. I have zero confidence in Stan Van Gundy going with him and playing him consistent minutes down the stretch here.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's been a roller coaster in terms of those minutes with Kennard this year. And if you're a Pistons fan, why not throw him out there? And even if there are some defensive shortcomings, let him learn on the job a little bit. But Josh Lloyd, you got the Fantasy Basketball Podcast here for the Locked On Network. If fans haven't listened to the show, what can they expect on the daily look at Fantasy Hoops?
So what we do each day is we go through the games of that day and talk about what went down, injuries that happened, and big performances, rotation changes, that sort of stuff. And in the second half of the show, we preview the next day's game, going through, you know, DFS value on FanDuel, DraftKings, where the prices are, who's got the value, how the opportunities are aligning for these players. And every day now on the podcast, we spend about 5 or 6 minutes doing an in-depth dive into one player, player spotlight and highlighting their value for this season, what it's been like through their career, how it translates, or how their on-court production translates into fantasy and what it means for them going forward in the future.
Josh Lloyd from Australia, thanks for joining us today here on the Locked On Pistons Podcast, the host of Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast here on the network. Find him on Twitter at @RedRock_BBall and also at Locked On Fantasy as well. Thanks again, Josh.
Thanks, Matt.
Well, I know you're going to be watching some basketball this March, probably of the college variety, so I wanted to give you a quick list primer of some players to watch, especially considering that the Pistons will be picking probably about 41 somewhere in the top third of the second round. Here are some players, some flyers, and also some maybe some guys who could sneak into the first round too over these next few weeks. We're going to start off with Michigan's Mo Wagner. You know Mo if you're a Michigan fan. He can Moritz of Germany. He can do a lot of things. A great team leader for Michigan, obviously, this year, but can fill it up, can score in a variety of ways. I interviewed him and saw him play at the Combine last year here in the Windy City. Great kid, nice to talk to as well, and went through the whole process last year and decided to go back to Michigan, and hopefully they can make a long run if you're a Michigan fan. So a guy to watch there, obviously. Landry Shamet of Wichita State, the combo guard, kind of a lead guard for the Shockers. He's long. He's about 6'4". Not a very explosive athlete, but a guy to watch that might be one of those second-round type of gems. He's from Kansas City Park Hill. I was in Missouri when he was in high school and heard great things about him. Another guy, Svi Mykolaik of Kansas. He's from, I believe, one of the old Russian countries that broke away from the Soviet Union. But he's another guy who went through the combine process last year. I talked to him at the combine, and he had some foot injuries and wasn't able to work out with any teams and went back to Kansas and has had a pretty good year there for Coach Bill Self's team. Can really fill it up. The athleticism is the question for him. But if you're the Pistons and you're looking for outside scoring, Mykolaik of Kansas might be a guy to keep an eye on. Another guy in the tournament for Arizona is Raleigh Alkins. I saw him play in high school at the Tournament of Champions tournament down in Missouri there. He played for Christ the King, one of the better programs year in and year out in the country. But a Brooklyn kid who's strong. He can jump. If you saw SportsCenter or anywhere this past weekend, he had the big dunk off the pass from DeAndre Ayton and took it down and dunked all over that USC player, maybe the highlight of the weekend. So he's a guy who, really strong kid, can jump and make things happen athletically. So kind of those wing players that the NBA covets right now. Of course, point guard Jalen Brunson from here in Chicago is playing for Villanova. A lot of these guys' projections range from anywhere in the late first round the middle of the second round, so a guy to watch out for there. Just Jalen Brunson, just a consummate leader, maybe one of the better players in college basketball, but you know, a type like that we've seen in the past that plays so well at the college level and maybe doesn't get the due that they are at the NBA draft. I'm thinking about a guy like Malcolm Brogdon at Milwaukee, who was so good for Virginia but didn't really grade well as far as the NBA scouts, fell to the second round, and lo and behold, he's the rookie of the year. So might be a similar type of situation with Jalen Brunson, the Nova guy. Then you got Grayson Allen, everyone's favorite college basketball player from Duke, and we got Luke Kennard this year from Duke as far as the token white guy that a lot of people hate Although Luke Kennard, maybe it was a little bit unfair to be grouped in with the Grayson Allens of the world. But Tankathon.com's mock draft has the Pistons taken Grayson Allen at 41. So a guy who can obviously fill it up and has a lot of, shall we say, basketball savviness on the defensive end especially. So a guy that you can love to hate for whatever reason if you're across the NBA. And if he's a Piston, maybe you can love to hate him in the red, white, and blue uniform. Another guy who's not playing in the NCAA tournament that we'll be talking about as the summer goes on is Alize Johnson. I used to live in Springfield, and he's been kind of the pride of the Missouri State Bears for the last couple of years. He's a second-round projected pick. I'm interested to see if he comes to the combine next in May here in Chicago, and I get a chance to spend some time with him as he had a disappointing season with some injuries for Paul Lusk's team, who underachieved in the Missouri Valley Conference and ended up getting the coach fired, the former Purdue assistant coach. So Alize Johnson is kind of a do-it-all wing type of player who's going to have to add some more of those outside tools to further his NBA career, but a tough kid who is known as a rebounder and shooter and just one of those kids that of the Ron Artest, Charles Barkley molds who can kind of do it all for maybe a shorter stature than what you might expect from your big man, but has all those intangibles, energy, effort, just the kind of guy who might have Detroit Pistons written all over him. But so those are some guys to watch here as the NCAA tournament gets started on Thursday. I don't pay attention to playing games, so for me the tournament starts today. But again, give us a follow on my Twitter account at Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Give us a like on the Locked On Pistons-Matt Schoch account as well. Follow and listen to Locked On Lions with Matt Derry of Detroit Radio, and do all that other good stuff that we ask of you here on the Locked On Pistons podcast every day. But thanks for listening, everyone. Enjoy the beginning of the tournament. I appreciate all the support, and we'll talk to you all again very soon.